Good morning, everybody. Okay, if you're going to go to sleep, now's the time. I'll say it before you do it. You know. Okay, we're going to be looking at John chapter 9. If you want to find it, I tried to put it up on the screen but couldn't get it. It had all the chapters of John apart from John chapter 9 on there, so for some reason it's disappeared. So there you go. Right, excuse me, okay. I'm just going to read a few verses just to set the scene. As he went along, this is Jesus, he saw a man who was blind from birth. His disciples asked him this, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spat on the ground, made some mud with saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. In the previous chapter, we find that the Feast of Tabernacles had just finished and there was a large crowd still in the city. Jesus had been preaching in a very large public part of the temple, and he had confirmed his identity as the promised Messiah. He warned the unbelievers that they were in danger of dying in their sin, and he spoke about his death on the cross, which was going to be about 6 months away. He also spoke about everlasting freedom that he will give to everyone who believes in him. And then it comes to this story where Jesus is walking past this man who was blind from birth. I want you to do what the children did a few minutes ago. I want you to close your eyes. And actually, what can you see? Can you see some things? Because when I close my eyes, I see colours. Perhaps I'm different to everybody else. And actually, because I have seen, I still see things. Even if I'm not physically seeing them, my mind is telling me that I can see things. You can open them again now. There's a significant difference between going blind and being born blind. Significant difference. Davey over there will tell you how difficult it is when you start losing your sight, and it becomes incredibly difficult. And for those who lose their sight during their life and they lose it totally, they still have the pictures. They know what colours are. They know what people look like. They know what buildings look like. They know when they touch stuff. They know what it looked like. But people that were born blind have no picture of what something really looks like. And that's what this guy was. He had never, ever seen anything. So he only knew what people told him or what he felt or what he smelt. And I don't know about you, but I've spoken to people, and then when I've seen them, I've been absolutely gobsmacked. I thought, you don't look anything like you sounded. I remember once speaking to this Glaswegian, and the accent was so strong. And when I met them, he was a short black guy who had just was three generations of living in Glasgow. But he was not what I'd imagined whatsoever. So you can imagine, if you're blind and you've never seen a thing, that actually life must have been incredibly difficult. And can you imagine, in his encounter with Jesus, this man gets some mud and some saliva and wipes it on his eyes and tells him to go to the river. What? I mean, can you imagine? Would you have done it? I expect out of desperation you might have done, but just think, he'd have had to get somebody to take him, so he wouldn't have been able to find his way there. And then he'd have had to have been obedient to what Jesus had said. And then can you imagine when he came home and could see the impact on that person. What have we got up there? Oh, you got it. Oh, well done. Oh, very clever. Well done. Absolutely amazing what happened to him. Now, have you heard of Johnny Erickson Tada? The American lady who her father was an Olympian, and she loved life, and she was a good athlete, and she was diving into a pool of water and damaged her spine and became a quadriplegic in her teenage years. She's now 69, 70 years of age. And so for the last 50 years, she has been championing how people with disabilities should be helped to live their lives to the full and encouraging them to follow Jesus. And she said this. She said that it was her faith that kept her going. She had some very, very dark days, particularly in the early stage. She learned to paint by putting a paintbrush in her mouth. She learned to write by putting a pen in her mouth. And then eventually they brought out software that you could talk to and it would type it up for you. And she did that. She wrote over 40 books. She became a singer and made records. And she did all these things. But she said it was her faith that kept her going. But she also said this. Boy, when Jesus said that in this world you will have trouble, he wasn't kidding. In this world, there will be trouble. And we can be sure that as we go through life, we will experience dark days. We will experience difficulties. We will experience problems. But you see, this blind man didn't only have to cope with being blind, he had to cope with something else, didn't he? He had to cope with the judgmentalism of all the people around him, who were telling him, and he would hear people saying this, oh, it must have been, he either must have been a sinner from birth, or it was his parents who sinned, and that's why he's blind. So not only could he not see, not only could he not work, could he not do anything for himself, but he was living under the judgment of people. There was this lady. She had taken her car into the garage to have some work done. And a few days later, there was this awful smell. And she I can't cope with it. So she goes back to the garage and she says to this guy, she said, look, you did my car a few days ago and now it stinks. And the guy said, well, look, I'll have a look. So he starts rooting around all the car, and underneath the passenger seat, he finds this tray of mouldy lasagna. And her friend says, see, I told you that mechanic hadn't nicked your lasagna when you brought the car back. She couldn't find it when she got back from the garage and had assumed that the mechanic had eaten it. We jump to conclusions all the time. We see somebody and they look dishevelled. We see somebody and they may be overweight. We see somebody and they may be very thin. We see all sorts of things and we make judgments all the time. But Jesus said to them that it was neither. It wasn't the parents and it wasn't the man himself. It had happened so that God's glory could be seen in him. Now that is hard to take, but what a relief for that guy. What a relief. Not only was he healed, but he was also under no more condemnation. Under no more condemnation. And as we go through life, we need to understand that when we have an encounter with Jesus, when we respond to his love, we do not need to live in condemnation anymore. When we ask for his forgiveness, he forgives. When we ask for his healing, he heals. When we ask for him, his help, he brings us peace and joy. You see, our view on life, you know, in fact, you know, when the children were up and one said, oh, we can see everything. Actually, we can't see everything. And the sooner we understand that, the better we will be. God sees everything. And when we can't understand sometimes why things happen, I can't understand why we have the pain that we have in this world. There's all sorts of things I can't understand. And I just have to accept that God is far greater than me. And in his wisdom, he chose to give us free will. He chose to give us the freedom to follow him or not follow him. He chose to give us the ability to do what we want to do, so that we weren't just robots. And because of that choice, it means there is pain, there is suffering. And it's hard to take. And there's times when I think, why? Why? But God does know all things. We don't. And Jesus is very clear here that, actually no, their judgment was wrong. This is why. And we have to learn not to jump to conclusions or to judgments. You see, somebody wrote this, and I think it's very true. People often want a God different from the one that we find in Jesus. They want to pick and choose. Compassionate, yes, but demanding, no. Resurrected, yes, but crucified, no. Salvation, yes, but repentance, no. His love, I'll take it, but commitment, no thanks. Unfortunately, you can't have one without the other. The rose comes with thorns, although I do know now they do make roses that don't have thorns, but you know what I mean. You want to have a baby, it's going to be pain in the birth. That's what comes with it. Night comes with the day. And the best of times can't be lived without going through the more difficult times. Does that resonate with you at all? Yeah, God is compassionate. I love this compassionate God. But he is a bit too demanding. He wants too much from me. Yes, he was resurrected, but I can't bear the thought of him being on that cross to die for my sin. Oh, really? I almost don't need to speak about the light side of it because Chris did that earlier. But Jesus did talk about being a light to the world. And Scripture tells us that God's word is a light to our feet and lights up our path. And there was a guy, he was on holiday with his family, and they decided they were going to go down some very deep caves because there was this lovely tourist attraction. And they go there and the steward says, there's a few safety things, and one of them is you've got to have this light with you the whole time. And they're standing out there in this beautiful sunlight. And they walk into this huge cave. I think, goodness me, do we really need this? And then, of course, as they go deeper and deeper and deeper into the cave, and it gets darker and darker to the point where there is absolutely no light whatsoever, this light that suddenly seemed to be so dismal is bright, and it lights up the whole area, and they can see brilliantly because they've taken the light with them. And as Christians, we need to read God's word and we need to understand God's word so that we can see the light that it gives us to the paths that we should lead. We need to have the relationship with Jesus, because when you read the Psalms and it tells you about this light being a path and everything else, Jesus hadn't yet come. But we have the experience of Jesus. Not only can we read in Scripture about him, but we can experience him in our own lives so that we can experience the light in that way. But not only do we need the light, but those who don't believe need light in this dark world. And Jesus was the light, and he is the light, but how? How is he the light? Anybody? Yeah, but Jesus is the light, but how is he the light now? Through us. We're the light. So it's not just one light. It's all of us. We are the lights, and we need to light the way for people so that in the darkness they can see God. In the darkness they can see the compassionate God that we love to talk about. In the light of this world they can see that actually God wants us to help one another because he loves each and every one of us. There are some people that will never, ever open a Bible. The only way they will see Jesus is through you. There will be people that you know that the only glimpse of Jesus they may ever see is you. And people may not read the Word of God, but they will read you. They will read you and they will read me. And when they see us not showing the love of God, they seem to read that very quickly. What they need to read in us is when they is us expressing and showing the love of Jesus in every situation. So one of our prayers in the morning is to be, Lord, will you help me to walk in the light? And will you help me to be a light to others? And so protect me from being selfish. Protect me from saying things that will cause harm. And enable me to bring love into whatever situation I'm in. It doesn't have to be fantastic prayers, but simple prayers like that. Protect me from doing wrong and help me to serve you. And help my mind and my lips to speak out with your love. And if you read on in John chapter 9, the guy has a second encounter with Jesus, which is great. Because he's gone off and he's done what Jesus told him and he's got his sight back and it's fantastic. But then he's getting a third degree from the religious people. And basically they're saying, you're not the same person. Yeah, you're not him. So then they call the parents along and they say, yeah, it is him. It is him. And they say, but he's old enough and big enough to talk for himself. So then they start questioning him again. He said, look, I've already told you the story and you don't believe me. Do you want me to tell you again? But Jesus, and basically they end up throwing him out because they can't cope with the fact that this man has had his sight returned to him, because who else could do that but God? And this Jesus can't be God, can he? So they kick him out. They have him thrown out. So Jesus goes and finds him and says to him, who do you think I am? And he goes, you tell me that I may believe. And Jesus said, well, in fact, I'll paraphrase that a bit. He said, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he said, who is he? Tell me so that I may believe in him. And Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one you're speaking to. Then Jesus said, the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Jesus revealed who he was and he worshipped him. Jesus reveals who he is to us and we need to worship him, not just with our songs, but with our lives. It needs to be an everyday thing. See, we may not be physically blind, but sometimes we're spiritually blind. Sometimes we are made blind by judgmentalism, by apathy, laziness, selfishness. All those sort of things can blind us to what is needed around us because we don't really want to know. How often have any of us said, don't tell me about that because I don't want to know? Anybody ever said that? I'd rather not know. Well, when we do that, we may be blocking something that God wants us to tell us. And we may be stopping ourselves from being able to serve him in a way that might make a humongous difference in somebody's life. Because, you know, sometimes just the stopping and listening to somebody can make a huge difference to their lives. It doesn't have to be these huge things, you know, where we go and buy them a car because they haven't got any transport. It might just be something as simple as sitting down and having a coffee and listening. It might be inviting them to your home. It might be going and spending time in their home. John Newton, we're going to sing the song in a minute, Amazing Grace. And I love the John Newton story. And I love the fact that you wouldn't have met a more profane man. He had a terrible childhood. He was an abused kid. He lost his mum when he was six. He had a stepmother who had no emotion about her whatsoever, and he was abused as a child. He ran away to sea, and he was known as one of the worst of the worst. And eventually ended up, obviously, in the slave trade. In fact, he was a slave himself for quite a period of time as well. And, of course, eventually, he was so ill he couldn't go to sea anymore. And this was following a time when he'd actually strapped himself to the wheel and for 11 hours had actually taken the ship through a storm. And he'd actually cried out to God. And later on, he remembered that he cried out to God, and eventually he came to faith, and he became a vicar, and all sorts of things. But he wrote those words, "Was blind, but now I see." He was never physically blind. He was blinded by greed. He was blinded by selfishness. He was blinded by all sorts of things, by the hurts that have gone on in his life. How many of us are hurt by things that have happened in our lives? And so we become blinded, blinkered, because we don't want to look left or right, because it might bring back things that we don't want to think about. I can testify to that. It's so easy to do, because we have been hurt, many of us. But we need to be open to the healing power of the Spirit. And that takes time, and sometimes it seems an awful long time in coming. But Jesus is present here with us today. And he's wanting to speak to each one of us. And he's wanting us, excuse me, to respond, not just to sit here, and maybe not even just to sing this next song, but actually to respond. For some of us, it may be a reaffirmation that, yes, Jesus, we do love you. And Jesus, we do want to serve you. For some of us, it might be, do you know what? Jesus, I've been ignoring, or I've been deliberately keeping my eyes closed because I've not wanted to know what you've got in store for me. And for some of us, we may actually be thinking, do you know what, I've never actually responded to Jesus in that way. I've never actually turned and said, Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Jesus, I want to serve you. I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to be your disciple. I want to live my life for you. And I want to encourage us as we sing this song, and then there'll be a short period afterwards where we will just rest quietly and spend some time with Jesus and maybe responding in whatever way is appropriate. Because, you know, our walk with Jesus is a daily walk. And whatever stage we're at in a relationship, we need to make sure the relationship is good. And we want to open ourselves up to what Jesus has in store for us. Do you know what? It would be fantastic for me if you were all whooping now, thinking, yeah, great, this is what we've got to do. Because actually, it is what we've got to do. I've said to you before, there's days when I wake up and I think, oh, really, another day? But often God gives me a little bit of a kick up the backside, come on, get on with it. I've got a job for you to do. And then you spend a bit of time with them, and actually the joy comes back, and you realise that actually, you know, what a privilege we have to serve this God. What a privilege we have. So I want us to just, each of us individually, just to reflect how we are with Jesus today and respond appropriately. Nobody's going to force you to do anything, but I would ask you just to spend a few moments thinking that through and responding as you feel appropriate. So if the band can come up. Father, we thank you that no sin is too great, no weakness is too much. You love each and every one of us, and you desire that we would serve you, that we would be in relationship with you, and let you be the light to our path. Father, I pray that for each and every one of us, whether today has been the first time that we've acknowledged you as our Lord, or whether we're reaffirming, or perhaps just coming back. Father, will you help us? Will you this week, through your Spirit, enable us to live out our lives for you? Will you keep us close and let us know your warm embrace, your peace and your joy, and your strength to endure those difficult times? Will you bring comfort where there is loneliness or grief? Will you bring joy where there has been sadness? And Father, will you just enable us to open our eyes and see this world around us, this wonderful world that you've made, and the opportunities you put in our way to serve you, the opportunities you put in our way to serve your people, those whom you created, those whom you love and desire to see all being treated well and respected and loved, and wish that all would know who you are. So Father, be with us now in your pleasure, at your pleasure. Will you just work through us? Will you cause your face to shine down upon us? And will you bless us every step of the way? We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.